We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Mets fans? Jack Manuel here for another Brooklyn Buzz, and unfortunately, another Nets loss. The Nets go down to the Orlando Magic, 114-106, and it was borderline ugly. It wasn't handsome, is probably maybe a more apt way to describe it. I'll just jump straight into my game notes. So, the Nets went initially down at 10-2, and they allowed 4-6 from the field, including 2-3 from three. But yeah, then they start 0-6 from three. Orlando 4-7. Orlando are a bit behind. Orlando have a 13-point advantage at that point as well. The Nets, a Magic at one point had 16 points in the paint, and the Nets had 16 points themselves. So this was at about 31-16, and the Nets were just allowing paint point after paint point after paint point after paint point. And after the first, the Nets were 7-22 from the field. They allowed 14-21 from the field, nearly 67%. Cam T had three of those seven made field goals. He had 7 points, and I'll get to Cam Thomas in a little bit. But it was, and in the second period, things started to heat up a little bit. You know, the Nets are down by, you know, the Magic are over double their score, 33-16. But they have a massive second quarter, 38-28, and you're starting to think that there are some signs of life. It's the coming to life memes. There are hundreds of them. The guy dancing, the guy coming out of the tomb. There's something there, and it was Cam Johnson initially that sort of sparked this little mini revival. He got an absolutely unfathomably stupid tech call on him, like Joe Ingles, Aussie brethren. Again, I get. Some people don't have some disdain for Joe Ingles, but I will never besmirch that man because of what he did for the Australian national squad, getting us our first ever medal at an international event in the Olympics. But he hip and shoulders. And for those that are Aussie fans and Aussie listeners know what a hip and shoulder is, it's basically just like a shoulder charge. And for some reason, this is off the ball, Cam Johnson gets called for a flop. Like, some of the officiating, like, leaves a lot to be desired around the NBA. Now, we've heard different points of emphasis, and there's more defense being played, more things getting called, but that was just a befuddling call. But Cam Johnson, after that, is like, you know what, F this stuff. And he goes, bang, straight line drive, and dunks all over the Magic. And that was a good play, and that started to feed things a little bit. He follows it up a little bit later with a pretty deep three ball. The Nets cut the lead to 10, and it was a really quick sort of laser feed from Cam Thomas. It was a play that I was a big fan of from both Cam J and Cam T, and it was the Cam show. Cam J, Cam T, those are the guys that were keeping us in it. And, you know, again, Cam Thomas had a really strong drive and one drive on Mo Wagner. This was the Nets 42-56 down. Again, things are starting to turn somewhat. But then they really start to heat up a little bit thanks to Dennis Smith Jr. And he had the second three of the night. He then had a steal and a fast break slam. The Nets are down by only single digits. And you think something's happening here. The Nets could be building a bit of momentum. But And then Cam T, to nearly end the quarter, has this sidestep pull-up three. It sort of reminded me of that summer league game winner he had early on in his career. And the Nets are only down by five. They go down, you know, by seven at the half. But the momentum is in their favor. The Nets went on a 16-3 run in the last 4.5 minutes of that quarter. And you think, maybe something's happening here. But it wasn't. It was too much, you know, it just didn't happen. Let's just put it that way. The Magic outscored the Nets 32-23 in that third period. You know, there was some little moments here or there. Clax had this massive dunk off on a pick and roll play with Dennis Schroeder, who his pocket passes are absolute cash. But then he gets a tech, you know, with the after elbowing, I believe it was Jalen Suggs. And look, I think there is discourse somewhat about Nick Claxton and his antics and the text that he receives, and some of them leave a somewhat sour taste in their mouth. Now, some people are like, the Nets need this physicality, they're getting punked, blah, 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 blah. But it's just like, if it means the other team gets points, I'm not a fan of it. Like, I like it when it's, say, like the coach riling up and trying to inspire the players in a certain way. I know we've wanted that from the Nets coaches in the past, especially during those Steve Nash days. But in saying that, it's just a little bit silly, you know, somewhat immature, I guess, from Nick Claxton. It's just like, you made the awesome play, live with it, move on. And it's just a little tidbit, a little nitpicking that I am. I'm obviously a massive fan of Clax City, but that's just something that maybe wasn't a momentum turner, but it was something that wasn't great. Not describe it and find the best analogy in the world, but it wasn't amazing. And we had also Lonnie Walker check in towards the end of the third quarter, and he'd only played 3 minutes. I was questioning why that was the case, and we didn't really get much information, at least from what I've seen so far from the Nets media. But yeah, the Nets were struggling a little bit offensively, and a lot of that was, you know, quality, physical, hounding defense from the Magic. The Nets could have got some more calls here or there, but where they needed a bit of shot generation, a bit of spark, Lonnie can normally give you that, and he's provided that plenty this season for the Nets, so it was interesting to see that he didn't show us that. So let's go to the fourth quarter. Not many little plays to sort of speak of. Clax had a nice sort of recovery block. It's one of his pattern plays. You know, he's just got great quickness, great timing, and just knows how to let guys get past him just a little bit and then just swat the hell out of him. And that led to a fast break. Bridges led. They're naturally down by 10, but it was all to no avail. And by that point, Kevin Ollie, at around the 2.5 sort of minute mark, the Nets are down by, I think it was like 12, but he emptied the bench. So I think he might be thinking about the schedule coming up, but yeah, the Nets didn't deserve to win this game. They were thoroughly outplayed outside of that, you know, really positive second quarter. And they've dug themselves some holes. You know, they go down by too much too early. And, you know, you're not the Denver Nuggets. You're not the Oklahoma City Thunder. You're not the Boston Celtics. You can't get back. And especially when the three-point shooting was as poor as it was. But yeah, in saying that, guys, after the break, I'll look to some individual performances. Looking a little bit at Nick Claxton, look ahead for the Nets on the schedule and their unfortunate fading play-in hopes. Now
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
player for the Nets tonight, guys, was Cam Thomas. 39 minutes for him, 9 of 19 from the field, 1 of 4 from the 3, 2 of 3 from the free throw line. Did have 8 boards, 4 assists and a steal for his 21 points. And there was a nice quote from him, and this one is via Eric Slater. Let me just quickly get it up, talking about, and obviously he spoke to Chris Haynes as well about his personal development. He said this on his development this season: just staying true to myself and not letting anybody change me. That's how I really try to approach the game. Obviously, my favorite player being Kobe. I try to emulate that a lot, just from the mentality aspect. Even now, when teams are trying to blitz me a lot on the screens, it can be frustrating because you want to come off and get one-on-ones and open shots. But at the same time, you just got to read the game and play through it. That's what I really got better at this year, because we played Atlanta and it caught me off guard and I struggled that game a lot with the blitzing. But then you look at the film and just know where you can attack and how to read it. So it's been good growth for me in that area. I think it has as well. And he was blitzed a lot. Like, he was blitzed at half court a lot today. The Nets, you know, best offensive player. You know, the Magic were certainly targeting him in that aspect. And Cam made the right plays. He made the right plays. He could have been a bit more efficient here or there. He could have got a few more calls. Like, he got a tech value at the ref. But Cam Thomas doesn't get the favorable whistle by any stretch of the imagination. And because he doesn't have the histrionics of a James Harden, a LeBron, these sort of guys who, or any sort of guy that flops or flops-ish or makes their contact known around the rim, Cam's just really strong. And when he doesn't, he's not obviously a very vocal sort of player, though he's spoken about that as well lately. But when it comes to foul calls and getting free throws, he deserves a lot more. And tonight he could have easily had 3 or 4 more. But he was by far the Nets' best player. And look, the discussion around Cam Thomas has been lately, should he be in the most improved player conversation? And I think I said at the start of the year that I thought he was one of the leaders, and I think Nick did as well, and he said that he should be as well. And look, he said this when he was speaking to Chris Haynes via his podcast: I feel like my name should definitely be in the MIP conversation, but whatever happens, happens. We're just worried about getting wins because we have bigger goals, like getting to the playoffs to play in. So I feel that's more important than that. And Cam Thomas is just really, he's going to be a long-term NBA player. And I sort of said the other day when I posted on Twitter that I'm like, I'm not really sure what the ceiling for Cam Thomas is, but I'm just really going to enjoy the journey to seeing what him reaching his potential, and I really hope that is in a Nets uniform. But yeah, he also said this: obviously, for the season I had, from what I've gone through my first 2 years until now, playing sporadically, now getting a full-time role, a little bit in my third year, having a jump like this, I feel like that can't go unnoticed, especially playing on the Nets. It can't go unnoticed for me. I think my name should be in the conversation, but I'll go as far as my team, and that's what matters. And, you know, he's filling out the other parts of his game. And Kevin Ollie alluded to that as well in terms of his rebounding. Another great rebounding game for him, as I alluded to. His passing, his decision-making, his just read of the game. The best players will take what the defense gives you and will take what the opposing team gives you, and also be proactive in creating for himself, for themselves and others. And that's what Cam Thomas has been doing a lot this season. It's one of the few bright spots that we have seen this season for the Nets. And he also told Chris Haynes about his improvements, what he wants to continue to improve on. He said, I'll probably say just staying more locked in on the defensive end. I feel like this year I've played great defense, but I get lost ball watching and stuff, and obviously still showing I can playmake with the best of them, still showing that. Teams are guarding me differently, trying to turn me into a passer. So just being able to make those passes on time and on target, I feel I've been doing a good job of that for my guys, getting them open shots and stuff. So I think he's right. And he said, like, you know, I want to keep improving on everything: shooting, dribbling, passing, defense, playmaking, rebounding, whatever it is. He's becoming a more complete player. And this is the first opportunity he's been given consistency to showcase what he has as a player. He's strong. He's talented. He has a really high basketball IQ. He's making the right decisions. So, look, I could speak Cam Thomas for hours and hours. We all know Mr. CT obsessed here. But, yeah, a minor bright spot in what was a bit of a dull night for the Nets. And outside of that, I think the only other semi-bright spot was Cam Johnson in 29 minutes off the bench, 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 2 assists, a steal, was plus 4, funnily enough. The only positive in the plus minuses were the guys off the bench, including Trent Watford was out in garbage time, but it was Cam Johnson, it was Dennis Smith Jr., and it was also Lonnie Walker that were positive in the plus minus. But yeah, Cam Johnson was positive tonight. He looked a bit more fluid and a bit more confident in his own body. At least that's what I could kind of see. So if he can continue to show that confidence and find that smoothness from three, be a, and show that aggression rather than sort of waiting for the game to happen, being a bit more forceful, like we sort of saw with that dunk and those deep threes. That's where Cam Johnson can be a really effective player. Dennis Smith Jr. was pretty positive tonight too, guys. 10 points, 4-7 from the field, 2-5 from three. 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 boards, as I alluded to, you know, a couple of offensive boards. Yeah, he's been really, despite the adjusting role over the, since Kevin Ollie came in, he's started to find his footing and make a decent imprint on how the Nets are going, and he's been a really positive player for the Nets this season, and we saw those moments for him, and I've been really surprised in a positive fashion by his three-point shooting, which has been, you know, pretty solid tonight. In terms of the physicality tonight, the Nets have just, look, the Nets got like bullied a lot. Like, in terms of points in the paint, they were outscored by 8. You know, when it came to rebounds, they were out. Actually, they only lost the rebounding battle by 2. So, there's, and they actually out-rebounded them on the offensive board. So, it was more just the magic being in the face and chippy, Jalen Suggs, Joe Ingles, these sort of guys, Gary Harris, and the Nets getting somewhat flustered, I guess, would be the, maybe the best way to sort of describe it. And Kevin Ollie alluded to that after the game, saying they did a really good job taking the physicality to us. And we just cannot allow a team to do that, especially a team that good. We have to show physicality, we have to show toughness, and we just didn't do it tonight. And as I was watching this game, it alluded to me that the Nets are probably what the Magic want to be, what the Magic are. Have some young players who have some really promising talent, be a really cohesive defensive unit. Jamal Mosley being a really quality NBA head coach, probably one of the leaders for Coach of the Year right now. But the Nets are just, They just have so many lapses. They're disconnected, whereas the Magic are a high version of what the Nets are, want to be. Like, they're a really great defensive squad. They've got some good young talent in Paolo Banchero, who wasn't amazing tonight. Franz Wagner, who was pretty good tonight. And Jalen Suggs, who's, and they've just got all these pieces, and the pieces just kind of fit a little bit better. And, you know, the likes of Jonathan Isaac, who is a defensive force too. So the Nets just are fading. I think that's probably the best way to sort of describe where they are right now. And I just, I don't know where they're going right now. Let's just look a little bit ahead to the schedule before, I guess, we end this one, guys. And look, there's a couple of winnable games coming up. You know, you'd like to think that the Nets would take care of business against San Antonio in a couple of days' time. Indiana is another question mark, but that one's away from home. They've got the Spurs, the Pelicans in New Orleans, then at home. The Pelicans at home, then at Milwaukee, at New York, at Toronto, at Washington, before they head back home to Chicago and the Lakers. I don't know how many wins. You know, Indiana ain't a win. San Antonio should be a win, but Victor Wembanyama, and the Nets have already shown that they can beat them, even with Victor Wembanyama playing pretty well. Pelicans, I'm not confident about. Bucks, Knicks, not confident about. The Raptors, the Nets play one of their worst games of the season against them. So, could the Nets go 0-5 over this stretch? I hope not. If the Nets can go 2-3, but they're slowly but surely really fading when it comes to the standings right now, because when it comes to that plane, you know, the Houston Rockets are certainly watching very, very closely. You know, right now, let me quickly take a look at the standings, and they are 4 games behind the Atlanta Hawks. So I don't think that they're catching them by any stretch of the imagination. So the Nets are in a pretty, not dire position, but maybe dire position. It's just how it's been all season. Lackluster, you know, directionless, all this sort of stuff. You want to talk about it. Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, in terms of the other guys that were out there tonight, there's not really a lot to write home about in terms of the players. It's not really worth individualizing and talking about them, you know, personally. But overall, the Nets need to bounce back. Hopefully it is against those Pacers, but the Nets are a bit aimless right now, and it's not a lot of fun. Ain't a lot of fun to watch by any stretch of the imagination. Normally there's something there, but Cam T's maybe the only one that we're kind of enjoying right now here in Buzzland. But outside of that, you know, Mikal Bridges, a minor conversation about him via Doug Norrie. Mikal Bridges has topped 20 points in only 3 of his last 13 games. I spoke about him at length on the last solo pod that I did in terms of his poor shooting. Is he tired? So go listen back to those thoughts if you want to hear me sort of think where he is at. I think that he either needs a rest or he needs to show something. Like, show some consistency. You know, he got to near 20 points tonight, but he was like scoreless in the first half. So another poor game from Mikal Bridges. And when your best or second best player, whatever you want to classify him, isn't playing well, then you're not going to win games. It's as simple as that. When Cam Thomas and Mikal Bridges play well, oh, look, the Nets beat the Cavs. So the Nets need their best players playing well. Mikal Bridges is that guy. Cam Thomas is that guy. They will go as far as those two will take them this season. Will it to be the play-in? I'm skeptical, but we'll see how we go. Nets World, it's always a pleasure to podcast for you, with you. As always, subscribe to the Brooklyn Bars on all streaming platforms. Give us 5 stars if you can. Rating and review. Nets World, let's keep going.